Hello, everyone. My name's Kenny. I'm an addict.
Hi, Kenny.
Down here to play some golf tournaments. Was here for 3 weeks. But before I came down, it was important that I got my NA meeting list. Because I can't stay clean alone. Tried that. It doesn't work. This is the only thing that's ever worked for me in my life. This is this program. And the golf tournaments didn't turn out so great. Didn't win anything, but I'm clean today. And that was my number one priority in coming down here, is getting back to Chicago clean. Because that doesn't happen. And it happened before. Been clean 5 years, 9 months, and 20 days today. That's because of this program and honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. When she asked me to talk today, I was like, oh God, I've never done this before. I've seen speakers speak, but I never thought that I would be asked to speak. That's just another amazing thing about recovery, is that newcomers, you know, just do what you're told. Make meetings. You'll be here. It's that simple. I remember my first meeting. Walked in, sat in the back of the room. It was in Oak Park. Steve's familiar with it. Oak Park's a suburb of Chicago. I sat in the back of the room, hoped nobody would notice me. And it's a red ball meeting, which means we pass around a red can. You put your name in there, and then the chairperson draws it. If your name is drawn, you share. And the can's going around, and he comes and stands in front of me, and I don't know the guy. And he says, "Put your name in the can." I was like, "No, I'm the addict's best words. I'm fine." He said, "You know, of course I didn't look fine. He could tell. You know, you can tell when you don't look fine enough." He said, "No, come on, put your name in the can." I said, "Okay, what the hell? This guy won't get out of my face until I do that." And then it was my higher power's will that my name be drawn. I didn't know any of this stuff. It's a very vocal meeting. And when we're reading the how it works and just for today and stuff, we're all reciting a lot of things along with it. And I didn't know any of that. You know? So I was intimidated. And then they chose my damn name out of the can. And all I had 4 days clean then. And all I said is, "My name's Kenny. I'm an addict. And I have 4 days clean." And the whole room comes up and gives me a hug in the back of the room. The whole room, total strangers, and they're stomping and clapping, and they give me a hug and give me a white key tag and say, "Keep coming back." And that's what, it was a Friday. And that's what, then I made a meeting on a Saturday and just kept doing that, because I knew my life was going down a wrong road. But I was powerless to stop it, you know? At the end, I didn't even like doing drugs at the end. But I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. And getting suicidal thoughts, you know? I was sure that I would die someday just alone in my apartment, you know, using. They'd find me there 3 days later because the body stank or something, you know? Or else I would have killed myself. I had these thoughts of driving when you're on, we have highways there, and you just drive into the middle part where a bridge is going over. I used to think about that a lot, because I didn't like myself, and I didn't know how to stop or change it, you know? But then I came to this program. What NA gave me my life back. I don't think I would be alive without this program, first off, right now. I think I would have taken my own life in despair. And thank God, everyone's higher power in this room has brought you here because he loves you and wants you to live. Wants you to live. Doesn't want us to die an addict's death. And just know that. You don't have to figure it out. This isn't a figuring out program. It's just a following instructions program. Just follow instruction. At Oak Park, I heard a lot of things, but one thing that stuck was, this is a program, Einstein misses it and Bozo gets it. Just do it. Bozo gets it. Program says get a sponsor. Just be a bozo. Just do it. Fuck, you know, I mean, we all had sponsors when we were using. Someone showed you how to hold a pipe. You know, someone showed you how to cut a line. We learned this from someone who was more experienced than us. Well, you got to learn it in recovery, too. Someone who's gone that path before, who's done the steps before and guide you through it. And don't try and figure it out. He says, write about it, just write about it. Well, I was really, you know, at the end of my rope. So I found a sponsor. How I found a sponsor is at one of my first meetings. I'm an isolating addict. I used mainly alone. I'd party with you if you had some stuff or stuff, but I'd rather just cop and go home and use. And that's how I was when I first came to the rooms. So I always wanted to get out of the rooms as quickly as possible. And then this one guy, Tony, wouldn't let me leave without a hug. He'd grab me by the shoulder and say, "Hey, newcomer, come here." And then grab me and hug. And he would do that for like a month. So then I finally got the courage up to ask him if he would be my sponsor. I asked the guy before him to be my sponsor, but he said he wasn't willing to do that right now because a sponsee of his just went back out and using. So, and I was all discouraged because I thought, oh man, how could this guy turn me down? I just got up the balls to ask somebody and he turns me down. So if you ask the first person, and you know, everyone has a life too. And it's the self-centeredness of our disease thinks that we're the most important thing in everyone's life right now, and they should drop everything they've ever had to help me right now because I'm a drug addict. And some things, you know, I could understand this guy. I still see this guy. Very nice. But he was in a mournful situation and didn't want to take on a sponsee right then. And then this Tony guy kept, you know, being nice. And so I asked him, and he said, yeah, it's okay. And then I just did what he said. He said, make a meeting every day. And I did. And somewhere along the line, not in the first year, it took a couple years, but now going to a meeting is a pleasure. At first it was because he said to do it, and I knew I had to do it. But now it's what I really look forward to in the day, more than work or seeing somebody else is getting together with recovering people, hearing how you get through life, how you handle a bad situation at home or at work, you know, and we don't have to use about it. God. He says, your happy birthday, you know. The happy birthday was just another day to use, you know. I thought about today, because today was rainy. It's been real nice the last 3 weeks down here, so I've been able to play and be occupied outside and doing that, but today, there was no golf. Mother Nature said no golf today. And so I had time to think. And I just remembered how many days like this I would just use the whole fucking day. You know? I'd just be locked up. And I'd use, it wasn't just rainy days. I used on sunny days and holidays and, you know, every day. It's just like, well, it just made more sense. Like, today's so shitty outside, I can't even use it. But I'd use on a sunny day, too. And use every day. You know? So for 20 years, I used drugs for 20 years. I grew up in Skokie, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. I'm an adopted child. I was raised by two Japanese parents. And raised in an Oriental home, which was very strict. No drinking, no drugs, was unheard of. I've never seen my parents use a vice in their entire lives. So I didn't come to drugs till I was 20. Or 20 years old. And went to college, and first was drinking. My first drunk was a drunk. I mean, I drank. I drank till I passed out. And thought like, oh, this is it, I found it, you know. I found the answer. This is, because I was always angry growing up. I was an angry kid. And very judgmental. Knew how everybody else should live their lives. You know, everybody else is all fucked up. God, the government, they don't know what they're doing. But always angry and stuff. And then I drank that first time, and I felt good. It's like, oh wow, maybe this is the way. And then I went to college, got introduced to pot. The first time I smoked pot, didn't get high. The second time I did. And then it was like, then it was a love affair. And I was like, oh, then this is the new friend. It's like, oh, this is it. This is the answer. I'm not angry anymore. Not angry at the world. The more I did it, the more I liked myself. And I was like, oh, okay, I can be mellow and calm down. So, and did other stuff that first year, some LSD, mushrooms and stuff during that year. And then it was coke. Ah, another friend. Meet a lot of friends along the way, you know. Like, this is it. Now this is it. This is how you stay energized and awake, you know, and all this. And after 20 years, well, actually, after like 5 or 6 years, it starts to wear on you. We all know that. But then I just started feeling dirty all the time. And always had to have something in me, you know, because I didn't like me straight. I didn't like who I was. I never felt comfortable in my own skin straight. I only felt sort of comfortable when I was high in some form or another. I don't know if that's in recollection. I don't think it's comfort now. It's just kind of numbing out. Through chemicals, the thing, but because I can say through this program, this is the first time in my life I felt comfortable in my own skin. Is through this program. I came to NA first just to stop using drugs. I thought drugs was the problem. So if I can just stop using drugs, my life will be better. And certainly it is. I had no idea what NA had to offer besides freedom from addiction. And I'm just speaking for myself. Peace of mind. You know, when I came to that first meeting, I wasn't thinking peace of mind. I just, you know, just get me straight. Just get me straight. I'll worry about the peace of mind. Or, you know, some peace of mind and letting other people be who they are, you know. It's okay. It's okay to let people be who they are. My sponsor told me, Ken, 95% what happens in the world is none of your damn business. Just the 5%, your actions, your attitudes, how you treat people, just focus on that. How Mr. and Mrs. Jones are living over there or whatever is none of my damn business. They have a higher power too. All right? And it ain't you. Newcomers, I really recommend getting a sponsor. I did it because the program first suggested it. But now, you know, it's... how can you say what a sponsor means to you? A best friend. And someone who understands and accepts you just who you are, you know. There was stuff I was convinced I would take to my grave. I would not tell a soul. Absolutely. There's actually a few things. I would not tell anybody. And I've told both these guys. I've had two sponsors. My first sponsor has moved on, and so these guys. And it's a blessing. And you tell these people, and they're like, man, so what? You know? What, do you think you're so fucking special? You know? Doing some weird stuff. It's part of the addiction. As you keep coming back, you learn to recognize when I call them addict man, when addict man is talking to me and lying. You know, addict man lies all the time. All the time. No one will understand you. No one will accept you. You've been too, you know, you've done too much. No one would accept you. And they're all lies through this program. So get a sponsor. Another thing I heard at Oak Park was if you have yourself as a sponsor, you got a fool for a sponsor. You can't sponsor yourself in this program. You have to have someone who's gone before you to work steps to show you how to work them. Or else it's just you and Addict Man, and, you know, I don't know about yours, but I know Addict Man, I lose that fight every time. You know, I'm not strong enough. He's stronger than me, and he knows me. You know, he knows me better than I know myself. So, at the start, because of Tony giving me those hugs and everyone, I just kept coming back, and I felt so miserable. It's like, okay, let's see what they said. And I can't believe it now, because I have 5 years, 9 months. I remember when people first said that, I didn't believe them. I was like, that guy didn't have 5 years. No way. He doesn't have 5 years. He's like drinking on the side or something, you know, but he doesn't have 5 years. So I didn't believe. It takes time, you know, it takes time. After you figure 20 years of using, you know, your life and attitudes aren't going to change in 20 days. It's going to take some time. And when we read the Who's an Addict, or someone read that, I remember, and then they said, thinking of alcohol as a drug. I was like, oh shit, I can't even drink? I thought, I just wanted to stop the drugs. I didn't know, like, you had to give up everything. I had no idea how I was going to do this. You know, to go to sleep without any buzz at all was inconceivable. I mean, for 20 years, that's how I went to sleep. Now, I sleep better than I ever have in my life. I just simply fall asleep now at the end of the day. It's possible. It happens. It just happens. You stay clean, it happens. Because I like drinking too. So I made meetings. And I believe in letting the newcomers share. Sometimes some people, you know, we're a room full of addicts, so it's there's a lot of egos and a lot of opinions and stuff. And some are good, some are not good, some whatever. But I like hearing a newcomer share. Some people say, come in here, shut up, listen, don't say anything, you know. But if you have something to talk about, like you felt like using today, talk about it. Talk about it. Fuck yeah, you know. We all thought about using. I still have using dreams. At the start, when I had a lot of using dreams, I thought I blew my clean time when I was dreaming. I remember waking up, and I wake up in the dream, and because I was at a party and I was drinking beer and smoking a joint and stuff, and I woke up, I was like, oh, I blew my clean time. It was like 90 days. Then I was like, and then I found myself in bed. I was like, no, it's okay. So it's very strong. But that it gets better. It goes away slowly. Monkey gets off your back. And then I got a sponsor. And my sponsor believes in working the steps. So, this is a 12-step program. It's not just a meeting program. It's not a 3-step program. It's a 12-step program. And each of those steps, before I did it, I thought was such a major hurdle to get over, such a mountain. And then after I did it, it's like, well, that's not so bad. It's like, you know, he asked me to write a few things about the first step, describe. Actually, I started with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. It was like a pre-first step. Write about honesty, open-mindedness, and willing, what it means to me. So I wrote about and basically wrote out my story, how I became willing, because I was beaten. Wasn't very open-minded at that time and marginally honest. But that's how I started. And then Tony said, Kenny, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness are like 3 legs of a stool. And if any one of these legs is shorter than the other, it'll wobble. And you will fall. You will fall. If you're honest, I'm an addict, I got a problem. Open-minded, okay, I'll go to meetings and stuff, but you're not willing to do anything, your stool will wobble and you will fall. Or if you're not honest, you know, you're open-minded and willing, but not ready to get honest with their... and that stuck with me. That still stuck. It doesn't mean that I don't lie today. I still lie, but, you know, I consider it... I'm trying to get better. I consider it an important thing. Keep all those... I love when we say that every day. And in Chicago, we say that three things that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. Those are not the traits of a using addict. Those are the traits of a recovering addict. So, and then he had me do the steps, went through the steps. And I did them gladly. Lots of people say they get to step four and freak or relapse or do stuff like that. I procrastinated on step four, but I did it. And then afterwards I was like, that's not so bad. It wasn't so bad. You know, I know I did the shit anyways. So, it was just, it's a part of honesty to admit it, that you did it, you know, that I did these things. Anyways, you get a sponsor, someone that you feel like you connect with, you like their program, they seem relatively happy, and at peace you want a bit of what they have, not the bling or the car and stuff, but their kind of serenity, their happiness, and then just do what they say, you know, bozo, just be bozo. Without this program, first off, I don't think I would be alive today. I certainly wouldn't be in a position where somebody asked me to speak about my experience. I came down here and made Tuesday. I see people from the Tuesday meetings and the Thursday meetings right there, and was made to feel welcome by everybody here. Got to know Steve a little bit and his sponsees, brothers, and you can go anywhere in the world. I've traveled a lot, and I copped everywhere. Copped in Turkey, copped in Germany, Hong Kong, And Tony said, just put half the energy into recovery that you did into using, and you'll find a meeting, you know. If the first place I tried to go to was closed, I go to another one, you know. And I go to another one until I cop. It wasn't, you know, just because one meeting was closed didn't mean like, fuck it. There goes recovery. Nobody cares, you know. When I was using, it was like, man, I'm going. I'm going to find some dope tonight. That's for sure. And we're fortunate today that any state, you can go somewhere and find lots of meetings. This is the third meeting I've been to this week, you know, and I'm from Chicago. Getting to recognize faces and see people and hear people's stories. And when people share their story, I hear myself in their story. We hear ourselves in everybody's story. You can hear a piece of it. The loneliness, the, you know, desperation. But I wanted to talk a little bit about recovery tonight, and what NA has given me is some self-respect. I first came to an NA meeting because I went to a shrink when I first realized maybe I got a drug problem. And he says, okay, I want you to make an NA meeting within the next 24 hours. And I never heard of NA. I've heard of AA, but, you know, just briefly, but I never heard of NA. It's like, what's NA? And he gives me a meeting book. And so I did it. I made this one. It was the closest one to his office. I made it the next day. And since then, it's shown me how to live clean and happy and get to feel comfortable in my own skin. You know, it's all right for me to make mistakes today, and it's okay if you make mistakes today, too. That's huge for me. That's, you know, because when you were making mistakes, you were fucking up my life. You know, I don't follow the logic on that. I don't know. But that's what I thought. You know, that's Attic Man, just this, you know, very strange. So, newcomers, be bozo. Come to meetings, listen, talk, let people hug you. Come up and get the key tags. That's what I did. I was like living for those key tags at the start. When I got the white one, then I wanted, what's next, green?
Orange.
Then I wanted the orange. So we have sayings that go with all these things. We say, get orange, aren't you glad you aren't in an orange jumpsuit today? Get that. So I was like, get the orange, you know, and then get the 60-day. And I just like lived to try and get those key tags. And that's all right. That's all right to do it then, you know. But recovery is possible. Recovery is possible in this room. Thanks.
Thank you.